You're listening to RTNT, Radio Totally Normal Toronto.
My mental illness allows me to be more compassionate.
I don't let it stop me from what I have to do in life.
My mental health helps me relate to other people.
I'm not afraid of it anymore.
I'm at peace with my mental illness.
Mental illness saved my life.
My mental illness has helped me learn about myself.
It's given me a new outlook on life.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of RTNT, Radio Totally Normal Toronto. My name is Brandon, and I'll be your host for today. RTNT is a voice for community mental health, produced by members and staff of Progress Place, a mental wellness clubhouse in downtown Toronto. In this episode, we'll be exploring the writer's craft and its connection to mental wellness and the recovery journey. We'd like to begin with an interview with Progress Place member and poet, Yael.
So, Yael, what got you interested in writing poetry?
So it's actually a funny story. Growing up, I was never interested in poetry, ever. I was always under the impression that poetry had to rhyme until I got into high school, and my high school English teacher told me that, no, poetry doesn't have to rhyme. So since then, I've kind of changed my the way I look at poetry. And it's just a great way for me to express myself, and it's the easiest for me. And the fact that I also can help other people with my poetry really makes me feel good. So
this one teacher actually made a pretty big change in your life for the positive.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
I would say that writing has definitely helped me in many ways. It's just a good way to express yourself and to really kind of go through the motions and process whatever you're going through, and to actually see your words, see your thoughts on paper when you're reading it back is really quite neat, and it's been great to reflect on as well.
Do you schedule certain times to write poems, or do you write them when you feel the urge?
Honestly, I'm probably like the least organized writer ever. I don't really schedule times or anything. I just kind of write whenever the inspiration hits, and you know, I'll write in my bed, or I'll write at the table, or I'll write wherever and whenever I get the feeling.
So it's just spontaneous.
Yes.
What's the strangest place you've ever written a poem? Like, if it happens to you, like you're on the subway or in the park or somewhere, or...
That's a good question. Probably on a bus.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it might not sound so weird to other people, but I'm used to writing it like at home, you know, in my bed or at the table. But sometimes the inspiration will hit when I'm out somewhere, and I'll just pull out my phone and write notes in my phone. And then when I get home, I'll put it to paper.
Okay, yeah, I've always, like, a concept in my mind is that someone's at a desk and they've got everything set up. Okay, so what am I going to write about? But if it comes to you, it comes to you on a bus. So do you actually type in the poem, or do you use voice recording?
I don't. I type it in my phone, and then whenever I get home or whatever, I put it to pen and paper. And I have a notebook full of... I have notebooks and notebooks full of poetry at home.
I believe some of your work has been published. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so I actually have 4 books of poetry. And the very first book that I did is actually carried at Glad Day Bookstore, just on Church. So they have my first book. I'm trying to get all the other ones in there, too.
So the name of that store, again, was...
The Glad Day Bookstore.
The Glad Day Bookstore.
Yes.
So people can... Can you order this book online?
Yeah. You can order it on Amazon or through the Glad Day Bookstore. Barnes & Noble has it.
So I... your teacher, wherever she may be, would probably feels quite proud that you've gone on and published material.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
I've dedicated my books to my teachers and, you know, to all those people who have helped me in my writing journey. You know, I put dedications in each of my books, so they're in there.
Yeah, that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
So how did it feel to see your work published?
Oh, it was such a great feeling, because being a published author is something that I have wanted to accomplish for so long, since I was a child. So seeing my poems in this book that's in bookstores is really, really something wonderful, and I'm quite proud of myself, actually.
Yeah, that makes sense. You get a sense of empowerment.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, and I also receive messages from people who have read my books saying how much I've helped them and how much they relate to what I've written, and so that kind of stuff.
That's really, that must be a great feeling.
Yes, it is. It's really kept me going, and I like it a lot.
Is there a poem that you have written that is special to you?
Yeah, so I think every poem that I've written is special to me in its own kind of way. There is one that I wrote. It's actually called Serial, and it's about my issues with anxiety and making my difficulties making decisions, particularly around what to eat for dinner every night.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what that poem is about.
All right. Would you like to recite it?
I sure can. An empty menu board sits in front of me because I'm bad at making decisions. Somehow, I think that if I stare at it long enough, it will fill itself in. But it's still blank. 7 days of choice. It's my worst nightmare. It's only meal planning, I tell myself as I pour my dinner of cereal into a bowl for the third night in a row. Cereal, because I'm bad at making decisions, and dinner is one of them. Laundry, laying in bags, waiting to be washed. But I can't decide which day to do laundry, because I'm bad at making decisions, and laundry is one of them. My wall filled with meal prep calendars and daily non-negotiables, which anxiety makes negotiable. Mantras of you are a work in progress and some baby pictures fill in the gaps of the wall. I still don't know what to have for dinner. I guess I'll have some cereal.
You are listening to Radio Totally Normal Toronto on CJRU 1280 AM and CJRU.ca in Toronto. Thanks for tuning in. Our topic for this month is mental health and creative writing. We're exploring the positive effects creative writing can have on our personal growth and how it helps in expressing ourselves and tackling challenging times in our lives. We just spoke with Yael, a member of Progress Place and a published poet. In listening to Yael's interview, I was reminded of a quote from acclaimed Canadian novelist Margaret Atwood. In response to questions regarding her inspiration as a writer, she said, "Perhaps I write for no one. Perhaps for the same people children are writing for when they scrawl their names in the snow." As much as reaching an audience can feel rewarding and creatively satisfying, the first audience of a writer is themselves. It is a way to create pathways of reflection, introspection, and growth, and in so doing strengthen our sense of self. By writing our names in the snow, we create a representation of our identity, and when we lend our thoughts and feelings to the page, we too represent a piece of ourselves to others. Letting people in is such an important part of our mental health. Sharing how we feel and asking for help can be such a pivotal stage in our recovery journey. The idea of sharing a piece of ourselves with others also manifests in the role of a singer-songwriter. Sharing ideas, feelings, and sentiment through song can have a powerful outcome in our collective consciousness. The songwriter encourages people to gather, to listen, and to share moments of community engagement. Our next interview features Walter, a singer-songwriter and member of Progress Place. Through Walter's love of music over the years, he eventually began to hone the craft of songwriting and has since written over 100 songs. Let's take a listen to Mark's conversation with Walter.
Hello, my name is Mark, and I'm a member of Progress Place. Today I'll be interviewing Walter, who is also a member of Progress Place and a songwriter. So thank you, Walter, for agreeing to do the interview. I'll get started. What got you interested in songwriting, and when did you start writing songs?
I was born in the late 1960s and raised in the early 1970s, which was a pretty nostalgic period for music. And it didn't just stop there. I kept being interested in the 80s and 90s. I picked up my first guitar in the late 1990s and covered my favorite artist's music. Then I would eventually write my own guitar riffs. And then when the inspiration hits me, then I would combine those guitar riffs with a little bit of lyric development skills and throw in a little bit of rhyming, and I would effectively get a song.
Now that leads me into my next question. Walter, are there any songwriters that have influenced you or that you like in particular?
I have hundreds of influences from the 60s to the 90s, but I'll talk about 10 of them in my multi-genre approach to music. The rock and roll influences are the Rolling Stones, Eric Clapton, Pete Townshend, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, The Animals. The folk genre influences are John Denver, Simon Garfunkel, and Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
That's interesting because Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young's album Deja Vu is one of my favorites. I love the song Carry On. I'll go on forward with my next question. It's about songwriting and how it may have, or if it helps you cope with your mental health issues.
Well, the trigger points in my songwriting are emotions, positive and negative. And when you write about something, a negative emotion, you can usually get over it or come up with a better solution to it. And if it's a positive emotion, then you can celebrate something good. And then over the years, as you do more songwriting, it effectively declutters the mind of baggage.
So the songwriting helps to declutter your mind. So when you're in a bad spot, you it improves your focus. Is that correct?
That's correct. It essentially you end up with being down less time, and you can effectively get over a lot of things.
Thanks for the interview, Walter. And now we're going to listen to your track, Want to Help.
When someone becomes a victim of war, no one's truth will make me slam the door. No hidden motives, no need to hide. No brainwashing, no terror inside. Gotta tell you, just gotta help out. Someone becomes a victim of crime. Why are so many people out of time? Why are so many people afraid? Why are some hearts hard? Do they have to be paid? Gotta tell you, just gotta help out. Someone who has a need, there's no questions when there's no greed, no hesitation when the system is fair, no promise, no need to beware. Gotta tell you, just gotta help out.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to RTNT on CJRU 1280 AM. Today's topic of discussion is creative writing and mental health. We just heard from Walter, a singer-songwriter and member of Progress Place. The song you just heard is one of Walter's own, titled Want to Help. Thanks for sharing with us, Walter. Lending the written word to music is deeply rooted in our cultural traditions. It is how we pass along stories and share feelings. Hearing a song that we relate to is a way of understanding that we are not alone. Leonard Cohen has said, "When we are touched by a song, it is because the artist cannot hide himself." Reflecting on this, I think that when we speak our truth and allow ourselves to be vulnerable, we can better share our story. As we near the end of this month's program, we will hear from our last interview. In this segment, we take a departure from creative writing as it relates to the written word and hear from Maddie, who writes instrumental music, expressing himself through ambient soundscapes. In his conversations with Mark, we hear how the act of creating something can, by its very nature, be a process of healing. Let's take a listen to the interview.
Just to get started, Maddie, what got you interested in producing music?
I feel like music to me is never in the background. I've always been interested as far as what is happening as far as the percussion and the separation of the sounds that make up an actual song or a production. Like, I'm a 90s kid, so the thought of becoming any kind of a producer was kind of far-fetched at the time because of money, and I always thought you had to have a full-on studio. But as the 90s turned into the millennium, I noticed how cheaper production was getting. And also because of the internet, I was educating myself as far as what I could do with the type of sound I wanted to make. And what really got me into finally taking that transition to interested in listening to music as opposed to making it was a few artists, actually. And one producer was... he goes by the name Fortet, and another one is a guy named Burial. And it was just Burial did this track, and it was just a 2-minute looping ambient track. I think the title was called Forgive. I remember it being close to Christmas. I remember it very vividly, and it affected me, and I couldn't believe how much an effect it had on me on something so simple, yet it sounded so complex.
So it's like a combination of you're a naturally creative, artistic person, and then you're just using the technology you find fascinating and fusing the two together. That's interesting. Can you give us a rundown on your creative process, like how you might start something, you get an idea, what prompts you to write something and the process involved?
It's kind of funny, like I purposely, there's a lot of stuff you could get as far as amps, guitars, samplers, it can go on and on and on, and people have all these toys, and I've always been a minimalist as far as what I want to get. If I get something, I want to make sure I use it. So I purposely limit myself on what I bought in order to make the most out of the sound I get. So I took a long time, I researched. And this is when eBay was a big thing, and my friend got me the sampler, and I already had the guitar going, and then I realized, what else do I need? And then I got this really cheap mic, and I'm like, okay, let's see, and then I had the software, and I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna get anything else. I'm not gonna get any more effects. I purposely wanted to do as much as I can with what I had, and through that, I feel like I almost exhausted my options with what I had, and that and kind of created the sound.
You play guitar, so yeah. So do you have like a, just is that like the starting point? You have like a melody, or there's, I know you have to, you're fusing it's like a soundscape, I guess, with your guitar.
Well, the way I got into the guitar was pretty traditional, like, you know, alternative rock was big in the 90s, and acoustic rock was also a thing for me. But I found myself getting more and more into obscure type music. I'll listen to like a soul track, and I'll hear, like, say they're breathing a certain way. And I'm like, I'm gonna take that part. I wanna take the part that maybe not everyone would take, and see what I can do with that. Just one little 10-second clip, and see what happened. If I can put the pitch up, I could put it down. And I found that it was like magic to me. Like I got I never knew I could get a euphoric feeling from that. Because it was the first time, like, wow, I can really do this. And all of a sudden, I had this whole other way of occupying my time.
It sounds to me like those little pauses or nuances in a song, you just take those and you run with that.
And I'll make that into a whole piece in itself.
Okay.
And yeah. I've always been acute with stimulation in general, which I guess I took stuff that was normally a problem in my life
mm-hmm.
and tried to make it into something that I can express and create. They always say, like, my sensitivity, my acute nature with sound became something I could finally use to produce and create. And that, in turn, actually helped my mental health. And I finally felt like I was actually kind of being an artist.
It sounds to me like you are listening to songs in a different way than an average person would listen. Like perhaps I would be focused on melody, but I don't think about the pauses where, as you do, you're looking, the way you listen to music is different than the way other people.
I don't know how different it is. Like, I still like the traditional
songs.
I don't like the word traditional, but I like soul music, I like funk music, I like rock music, I like electronic music.
Okay.
But as far as my own doing, I like to separate it and create. I always like the idea of you making audio art in a sense of like a journal entry. I've done all sorts of methods. Like I even probably not ideal, but I took my microphone in during a session. And I called the track No More Sessions because I was getting annoyed by not really connecting with my psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. So that was just, I got really experimental. I like the idea that you could take a normal day and then you use something from that day into expressing yourself at some level through your art.
Other people I've spoken to, that it's therapeutic.
Oh, for
the
sure.
The whole process.
And I feel like I'm being productive somehow.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
Have you felt that it's helped you a fair bit with your struggles with mental health?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I understand. I have my ups and downs.
Oh, yeah.
But generally I see myself on a slight incline as far as emotions and stability and just my general overall mental health. I'm guessing it's kind of a similar process with you.
You know, it's not this clean statement of saying mental, through art, my life has changed for the better and I'm always good. No, I'm not always good. I still struggle. I still have my ups and downs. But sometimes I don't even want to do art, I'll be honest. But I feel like I need to do it. I need to do it. It's like I need to express all this stuff that is going on in my brain. Because if I don't, it's going to come out in ways that maybe aren't healthy.
Maddie, is there a particular track that stands out to you that you feel most proud about?
I would have to say it's a track I did. It's called Dark Haze That Shines. And not only did the title come very quickly for me, but the tracks seemed to just come together at a great pace. And it was probably the first track that I was really satisfied with. I feel like I was able to express something, and then it seemed like other tracks followed after that. And I go under the alias Elevator Boy. So yeah, that would be the track I would pick.
So we're going to listen to a brief extract from Dark Haze That Shines.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Maddie, for sharing your song with us. Well, that brings us to the end of this month's episode. You've been listening to RTNT, Radio Totally Normal Toronto, on CJRU 1280 AM. If you are looking for a community to be part of your mental wellness, please visit a clubhouse near you. Clubhouse International reaches over 100,000 people living with mental illness per year and 320-plus clubhouses in 34 countries. Please visit clubhouseinternational.org to find out a clubhouse in your community. Thank you to our guests, Yael, Walter, and Maddie, and to Mark for conducting our interviews. Please share this episode with your friends and family. Together we can progress from mental health stigmas to mental health wellness. To learn more about RTNT or to listen to our previous episodes, please check out radiototallynormaltoronto.org or find us on SoundCloud. If you'd like to learn more about Progress Place, visit progressplace.org. You can also track Progress Place on social media. Our handle is @Progress Place Clubhouse. For Facebook and Instagram. For Twitter, our handle is @Progress_Place. Once again, thank you for joining us and have an amazing afternoon.